Welcome to Go Home Heat, a sports entertainment podcast. We have an elimination special event, the last special event on the WWE Network. Well, I mean, technically, I think the network is going to be called the network on Peacock. It won't be a standalone network any longer. It will be joining NBC. Evidently, NBC gave them somewhere upwards of $1 billion to get to carry the entire network, I believe. This should turn, in theory, they say it's going to be cheaper. I believe that when I see it. It's always peculiar to be told that you will get twice as much content as you had before. Not count, you won't get more wrestling content, but you'll get like twice as much stuff because whatever NBC covers, you'll get plus our network for $4 less or whatever. That never happens, right? Something will happen. Anyway, we have a special event, and the road to WrestleMania is upon us. Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn, King Corbin, Jey Uso, Daniel Bryan, Cesaro are going to be in a chamber match. The winner will face Roman Reigns tonight. We start out with Cesaro and Daniel Bryan. And again, these two guys, technical wizards, we've seen them wrestle each other quite a bit. As a matter of fact, our man, sorry, let you know I'm flying solo tonight, guys. Everybody was busy. So I'm just flying solo without a prayer. Corey Graves did make the statement, two of the most gifted technical wrestlers this industry has ever known. I think he would be right on that call. One standout move during this was a Cesaro standing suplex with Daniel Bryan. He held overhead as he just kind of walked around the ring. Then, of course, the technical wrestling comes to a stop when King Corbin's pod opens up and he is entering the match. Both guys are worn out. They went at a high pace early in this thing. So when Corbin comes in, it slows down, gets brutal. He comes in with the punches. He's pressing guys' heads against the fence. Everything a bruiser would do in this situation. Sami Zayn is next, but Sami does not want to come out of the Corbin heads immediately to his pod, and Sami refuses to come out of the pod for a little while, and Cesaro manages to break into the pod from the other side, pulls Sami out. Sami misses a haluva kick, injuring his leg. And also Daniel Bryan, in the middle of all this cluster of things happening, injures his leg, and that will become important as we go through this whole thing. This goes on until Kevin Owens gets in, and as they were all entering the pod, one of the core stories of this whole thing, of course, is that Kevin Owens has been Roman's main problem throughout this thing. As Jey is getting into the pod, he's jawing with Kevin Owens, who's already in a pod. Over the course, once Kevin gets into this match, Sami Zayn comes over and tries to unite their friendship suddenly out of the blue to help each other, but Kevin isn't having any of that. Once Owens has his way with these guys, because they've all been interacting and fighting each other for a considerable amount of time now, once Jay's pod opens, Kevin discards whoever he's interacting with and goes immediately at Jey, and they kind of fight with each other until people interrupt them. Owens does get his Stone Cold style moment where he stuns everybody that's in the match, of course. He does wind up getting Sami out of there. Sami gets the pin there, and as Sami is getting taken out of the ring, Owens' shoulder is in the doorway, where the sliding doorway of the entire cage. Jey slams his arm into the door, wedges his arm in there where he can't get out, continues to apply pressure on that shoulder area, and then begins to, as he's applying pressure, pretty coordinatedly, super kicking Kevin upside the head about 4 times. Rolls him into the ring, super kicks him a couple more times. We get the flying Uso for the pin. And now the odds-on favorite, the story we've been telling for months, is eliminated. So where do we go from here? A couple more cool spots as we get into this thing. We wind up with Cesaro getting to Cesaro's swing Jey Uso into the cage several times, which gets rid of him for a little bit. He goes back into the match and into the fray with Daniel Bryan for a while. It looks as if Daniel Bryan is going to have to submit, because as Cesaro with his power gets him into the muffler where Daniel's injured leg is wrapped around his head. He's pulling down on it. It looks as if this is going to be it for him. When Cesaro's getting ready to go for the finish, out of the blue, Jey super kicks him, because the logical thing to Jey is to get rid of the more healthy guy that's not looking at you and take the guy that's injured out later. He does it. He super kicks Cesaro. 1, 2, 3, and it looks as if we've got a rematch with Uso versus Roman. It's tricky here because Cesaro was kind of the fan favorite to win this thing, because he's never really gotten to shine. And so him not winning here can be frustrating to a lot of people, a lot of people that I interact with that really were hoping Cesaro would win this thing. Then, of course, we have the final here of Jey Uso versus Daniel Bryan. Jey went over Daniel early in this run of the main event Uso part of his new character. Daniel has been putting over a lot of talent lately. The rumors are he's leaving. It would be a surprise if he were to win this thing, having started it out and been injured the bulk of this thing. But as we know, Daniel's the ultimate underdog. He gets put into a situation where you're pretty sure he's going to lose. Jey goes for the flying Uso, this time from the top of the pod. Daniel gets the knees up. He struggles to his feet. He hits the running knee. He gets the 1-2-3 win. And suddenly, Daniel Bryan is in a position to become the heavyweight champion, or the universal champion, forgive me. But Roman's music immediately hits. And so if you thought he was going to get to rest before he wrestles Roman Reigns for the title, that is not going to be what happens. Roman comes out. He doesn't waste any time. He doesn't give the guy time to rest. As soon as the bell rings, he goes for the spear. This thing's going to be over right here, you think. But lo and behold, Daniel manages to leap and get him into a seamless yes lock. And suddenly, Roman's going to lose this title. Oh my goodness, which nobody believes that was really going to happen, but whatever. And Roman forces his way out with his strength, pulls the hands apart, which would frustrate you in as a fan, unless, you know, you just watch Daniel wrestle for 35 minutes and it kind of makes a little bit of sense that he might be a little tired and injured. Once Roman gets his hands separated, he begins to forearm Daniel to the head, to the point where Daniel is pretty much defenseless. Then he picks him up, slams him into the ground, he's unconscious, and then he does a choke to an unconscious person, which was useless, but proving his point nevertheless. This is the moment where Roman gets to have himself a good time and kind of rub it in Adam Pearce's face. He stands on top of the ropes. He's got a title in the air. All this is going to be wonderful for him as the crowd, the television Thunderdome style cheering, is booing. Edge out of nowhere hits him with a spear, points to the WrestleMania sign. What we knew all along is what we're getting, and it was still exciting, and they still gave us a very good beginning to a pay-per-view, or whatever you want to call these special events they have. Really good way to start this thing out, and incredibly excited to see where Edge takes this. Roman has been on another level on the mic. He's been willing to tell these stories as the champion who wins based on a lack of scruples. It has fit his character perfectly. He is alluding to being somewhat insecure here and there. These are things that Kevin Owens was able to take advantage of. This will be something that Edge really can take advantage of. My guess, guys, is Edge winds up going over at Mania. Roman gets it back fairly quickly, but the feel-good moment at the end of Mania would be Edge standing there alone, holding the title up after having come back from what was supposed to be an injury he could never recover from. Then if Roman gets it back in a month, who cares, right? Well, it's great for the show. Everybody cares because it's good for the network. It's good for the WWE. He's one of the more popular concepts as a bad guy that they've had in recent years. But great shot in the arm to have Edge, Roman, into Mania, and then probably a one more one-off after it, maybe two off after that. Corey Graves interjects, the main event of Mania just got rated R. Which was, he's been waiting on that one. He's been waiting to say that one, which was fine. Now, the other thing great about this is Edge is a funny guy. And a lot of the content on SmackDown, as far as where Roman's concerned, hadn't really been that funny. And so that this is going to be a neat run we're fixing to get on, guys. And I'm going to enjoy it. Speaking of a neat scenario and a well-written show, when you're talking about this pay-per-view, we're going to hit on a couple of things that become a common thread in this pay-per-view. Quickly, they run down Bad Bunny Saturday Night Live last night. He performed twice. Once he performed with the 24/7 belt in his lap because he had won it on Raw before. He begins to interact with Sonya Deville backstage, who is Adam Pearce's assistant on SmackDown. She says, hey, look, if there's anything you ever need, just come to my office. We'll get it worked out. She's wearing a suit with no sleeves. I don't know anybody that pulls that off. She looked great. Moving on. Miz is standing there. She walks off. The Miz says something to him, blah, blah, blah. Bad Bunny fires back with, you don't even have a title, do you? Are you even on the show tonight? That's neat because that sets up part of what the rest of this show is going to wind up being. Really cool little doop spot right there they gave you. Plus, they gave Bad Bunny a little TV time. No offense, guys. You may not like Bad Bunny in the show. Here's the thing. That dude was on SNL last night. That dude's about to be in the next season of Narcos. That dude's money. He's probably sold more t-shirts than anybody but Roman in the last month or two. And he ain't been there a whole month. So that's what's happening there. So you may not like it, but you're going to learn to love it because it's the best thing going today. To quote the expecting father, Ric Flair. Woo, that better not be true. I hope they're running away from that storyline on Monday, but I have my doubts. But that would be somebody else's call, not mine. Now, The Miz won himself a Fatal 4-Way pre-show style to get himself inserted into a match with Matt Riddle and Bobby Lashley for the United States Championship. And this was something else. Lashley comes out. It was well told. The way they did, and this is also a thread that winds up running through the show. See, when you do something right, you have these things called common threads. And back to back here, they gave us something that would be important as we went into the rest of the pay-per-view, but you didn't know that at the time, but you were just watching. Lashley basically murks both Riddle and Morrison early. Lashley's been beating the snot out of Riddle for months. Morrison gets beat up every time he goes in the ring, which is crazy because he's one of the Layfield said prior to the pay-per-view that you only have a handful of generational talents, and of course that's the definition of generational talent, right? That means there can't be a whole lot of them. Morrison was one of those guys, and the weird thing is here we are many years past his debut moment, many years past his what should have been a normal mortal's best moment, and yet he still continues to be able to give us this work at this crazy high level. His job here is to get beat up until he gets a shot at a couple flash spots. He does his job as well as anybody can do the job he has. He also has many names, and I'm going to try to use them all while we talk our way through this. Riddle, looking splendid in his Evil Knievel outfit, gets beat up as well. Like I said, Riddle's been getting beaten up for months now. After Lashley has gotten rid of Morrison and he's one-on-one with Riddle for a little while, he elevates him up into a standing suplex. It looks as if he's going to finish this thing off pretty quickly. Morrison springboards but doesn't hit Lashley. What he does is he springboards and takes Riddle down into a way where Riddle can land so that Riddle doesn't get hurt. And then he looks at Riddle when they land and they make an immediate decision. If we're going to be competitive in this thing, we're going to have to do something about Lashley, which they do. And they manage to do some teamwork stuff together that stems the tide of Lashley beating them up. Of course, things being like they are, really cool move there where Riddle manages to flip Lashley over the top rope, and then Morrison runs and Riddle kind of ducks, and we get the corkscrew by Morrison over the top rope into Lashley. Morrison then, and of course, does the scorpion to the frog thing, shoves Riddle into the ring post. But that is the worst thing he could have done because Lashley was not taken out at that point. Lashley gets back in it, does a couple more things. Eventually, we do get back to a Riddle versus Morrison back and forth. It looks as if Riddle is going to be able to put Morrison away. Lashley comes in with the save. Then, as Lashley's kind of out of sorts due to the fact that he was coming in with the save, Riddle's able to get the advantage on Lashley, hits the floating bro. Morrison gets rid of Riddle. Hits his Starship, if you haven't ever seen, which if you're listening to this, you have. Hits his Starship Pain. Beautiful finisher. And sometimes it's a little hard because it's a twisting move off a springboard. But split leg springboard. So it's really hard to do. So sometimes it doesn't look great. Even though it looks great, but it doesn't look impactful. This one he hit clean. Lashley kicks out. Lashley's booked strong, guys. Morrison, in frustration, sits up. MVP, the manager of Lashley, says something or another. Morrison's tired of it. Would you just shut the hell up, I think he said. MVP and him go back and forth. Morrison rolls out of the ring. Morrison yanks the crutch from the injured MVP, supposedly injured MVP, out of his hand. Goes back into the ring. This is a no disqualification. It's a triple threat match, so they always are. He's going to use the crutch on Lashley. Lashley winds up snapping him, grabbing him. That doesn't work. He winds up getting Morrison into the Hurt Business lock. Johnny Nitro is now in very much trouble. And when the Friday Night Delight is about to tap out, we have this moment where Riddle grabs the crutch and goes to town on Bobby. Hits Bobby 4 or 5 times in the back. The crutch breaks, shatters basically. Bobby rolls out of the ring. He's holding his back. Riddle finishes off Johnny Mundo. Winds up getting the pin on. Pins Boone the Bounty Hunter right there. And we have got ourselves a new U.S. champion. Lashley is furious. He's also holding welts on his back. Mundo, Nitro, Boone, Friday Night Delight. John Morrison eats the pin. Therefore, Lashley and Riddle can get into it again if they want. They have that out there because Lashley was never pinned for that championship. This is going to become interesting as the night wears on. Shayna Baszler and Nia Jax, the women's champions, are wrestling against Sasha Banks, the SmackDown women's champion, and Bianca Belair, who may or may not choose to wrestle Sasha Banks at WrestleMania. And it's a strange pairing, and it was a weird build-up because they didn't have a whole lot of time to spin into the build-up here for this pay-per-view, for this matchup. It was low-key kind of great up until the end. Sasha's as good as anybody when you ring a bell, and Bianca was allowed to showcase what she's very good at. Shayna really meshes well with both of them in the ring. Shayna's always looked great on offense because she's usually they do. Riddle was the same way, right? When a guy comes in and he is trained or she is trained in mixed martial arts, their offense is going to work. It's going to look good because they've spent all their life fighting. What they're not generally great at first, if they are really good at it at first, then like Kurt Angle, I guess, was just born to do it because he was a pro wrestler, right? He's an amateur wrestler too. And gold medalist, all of that. But it seemed like the minute he hit the ring, he could sell, which was an amazing thing to get that early on for a guy. Shayna is becoming that kind of performer in the way she can sell with people. And she was doing great in here. And all of this was going wonderfully until something weird happens. Reginald, the sommelier for Carmella, comes out with two glasses of wine, bottle of champagne. Referee's not looking. He slides the champagne to Sasha for her to supposedly win the match. In theory, this young man is quite smitten with Sasha. Who can blame him? She's a champion. Wonderful girl. Seems cool. She refuses to use the bottle of champagne. Spins into a Samoan drop. 1, 2, 3, it's over. And you have, strangely enough, and I'm not complaining. You do what you want. I do everything I can to not be a results-oriented guy when I watch pro wrestling. And this is fine. Nia and Shayna needed to keep the belts because they need to be wrestling at something at WrestleMania. You've already set up the fact that they're going to wrestle the NXT champs, the NXT Women's Dusty Rhodes Cup winners, right here, around the corner. So you can't take the belts off of them. Why did you book a match where you didn't really need to have a clean win? And it was kind of a clean win, but you still had your champ get distracted, messing around with some baloney that had nothing to do with the match, and Reginald looking like an idiot, which I guess that's kind of Reginald's role here, to be like this incredibly, wonderfully gifted, acrobatic idiot with a very deep knowledge of wine, which is fine. Those guys exist, I guess. Well, we know they do because there's one on Friday nights. But yeah, this was weird to me. But we cut away. Bianca is chewing Reginald a new one. So is Sasha. We will see where this goes. I am assuming Carmella will have something to do with all of this at some point. But as we are going to be the Asuka match, which was supposed to be with Lacey, but turned into a weird Ric Flair got Lacey pregnant maybe angle. The match just got cut. They didn't do they had a pre-show. For whatever reason, they did not do a flash. Let's figure out who's going to wrestle Asuka at this pay-per-view. So that belt was not defended. They didn't have a Women's Elimination Chamber match, which I'm not saying they should have or shouldn't have. It's just, so we wound up having a pay-per-view here that was probably a little less in time, although I did not check my wonderful iPhone to see exactly how long this thing clocked in at, but it seems like it was a lot shorter than Raw. Anyway, cut backstage and you have The Miz discussing something with Bobby Lashley's manager, MVP. What on earth could they be talking to as we head to the final match of the evening, an Elimination Chamber match? AJ, Kofi, WWE Champion Drew McIntyre, Sheamus, Jeff Hardy, and Randy Orton are in this match. Jeff and Randy started out. Now, Randy has had a very intense rivalry with Jeff Hardy at one time with a Hell in a Cell match where he tried to take Jeff's earlobe off. So that they start out and they get after it a little bit. Really, business does start to pick up though when the WWE champion hits the ring. Drew hits the ring and starts to open up on both of them. He beats him up good until Kofi comes out of his pod and gets a quick pin on Randy. And so you had Randy's had this huge feud with Hardy years ago. He had a huge feud with Drew recently. He supposedly buried Kofi's career. And then, of course, when Kofi gets the Kofi and Mania comeback, he's the guy Kofi has to run through to make all of that happen. So he's had a huge feud with him. So in a way, he gets his he goes through moments in his career in this chamber match, but is out quickly and first, totally rebooting the match. The way Randy reboots a match when he's been knocked out, though, is he RKOs everybody concerned before he leaves because he's furious and he's a viper. AJ sees what's going on and quite cleverly has his his bodyguard guy almost ripped the back end of the pod out so that he can run around and be at the front door long before he's supposed to be entering the pod. It works. He enters the pod. These guys are laid out. He tries to cover a couple of them. Luckily, they kick out, so that doesn't wind up being the winner, but very clever spot. Pierce gets mad, throws Olmos out for doing something like this and messing up the legitimacy of this wonderful event we're having. Now, Sheamus and Drew have been at each other's throats now here for a little while, as Sheamus had stabbed Drew in the back recently to get into what he hoped would be a program that would take him to the championship match in WrestleMania, the main event. What winds up happening here is similar to the Kevin Owens, Jey Uso thing in the first match. You do get an interaction between Drew and Sheamus as this is going on, although Sheamus tends to turn away and look away from the ring in some form of an angry focus. Once Sheamus enters the pod, it gets hot and heavy. You have not a lot of people are better in a lot of stuff to crawl on, climb on scenarios than Jeff Hardy and Kofi Kingston, and they gave you that now as we start to move a little quicker through this thing. You had Kofi do a really nice little monkey flip spot with AJ, which he had to get him. There's not a whole lot of distance between your ring and your chain fence, which they call the cell wall. And he flips him over into that real nicely. Drew winds up suplexing Kofi into the steel, and it looks rough. And actually, it's not really steel now. It's probably still an incredibly brutal spot, but it is a mat down there. There was a time when these things, when they first started doing these matches, that would have been legit steel grates that they were dropping you on. But this now they have a thin mat over the top of it, which doesn't seem comfortable, but it isn't what it once was. We get all the cool spots from the guys like we're talking about. We get the Lipton T plunge off the top of the pod. We get Hardy doing his flips onto standing people. We get Hardy doing his swantons onto people. We get the twist of fates. All of those things, but eventually it turns into AJ Styles, Sheamus, and Drew. Drew is down, and we think that Sheamus has got this thing to where he's going to get rid of AJ. Drew gets involved, and now it's Sheamus and Drew. As Sheamus looks to be about to maybe pin Drew, AJ hits him with a phenomenal forearm out of nowhere. 1, 2, 3, and we have AJ Styles versus Drew McIntyre to try and put this thing away. Drew has been hit with everything under the sun here. He's been claymored. It's over for him. AJ does the flip onto him. Doesn't put him away. Drew gets booked strong, folks. He gets booked strong. So he absorbs all of this, struggles to his feet. AJ's going to put him away with the phenomenal forearm, but it turns into a claymore. Lo and behold, Drew pulls it out after this horrible beating. This thing's over. The good guy champion is going on to Mania. The ring is being lifted. I'm expecting at any moment the credits to come up. In hits Lashley. And Lashley has won titles. He is the Dominator. He is the Almighty Lashley. He has won titles in multiple companies with multiple moves. And every one of those high impact moves he hits Drew with in the next couple of minutes. He pummels that dude. He takes him to the announcer's table, slams his head off of it. He continues to hit him with moves. He puts him in the full Lashley or the Hurt Lock, whatever you want to call it. And all of that is awesome because the Miz's music hits, which is awesome. And he hits the ring, and he hits the ring with the official, says, "I'm cashing in my Money in the Bank briefcase right this second. Let's go." As soon as Drew can get himself to his feet, sort of, kind of, they ring the bell. He does his short, the one knee DDT on him. Drew kicks out. Like I said, this cat is booked like a beast. Which he probably is a beast, too. I mean, he's a big, strong dude. But He manages to kick out of that. Miz gets him with a skull-crushing finale. And after something like 29 finishers Drew McIntyre got hit with, he is finally pinned. And we have a new WWE champion for Monday Night Raw tomorrow night. Take that, Bad Bunny. You ran your mouth, you pissed the Miz off, and you cost Drew McIntyre title. And I got to admit, guys, we're getting Bad Bunny versus the Miz for the WWE title. Bad Bunny's going to try to unify the 24/7 title and the WWE title at WrestleMania. Probably actually not going to do that. I would assume the Miz loses that. I think Drew's going to get the belt back before we go into Mania. I think all of you probably realize that too. The real question is going to be, what on earth did the Miz have to give up in order to get that, to get Bobby Lashley to go down to the ring and pummel Drew to the point where he could beat him? Because if he had to give Lashley a title shot, then it is entirely possible that WrestleMania or Fastlane won't be Drew McIntyre versus The Miz or Sheamus. It may be Lashley as the champion versus Drew McIntyre. Because that, I don't see The Miz going over Lashley. I don't see him getting away from Lashley. It would be interesting. The Hurt Business has been one of the more interesting things on Raw. I think Justin and I both made it clear that we were a little flustered when it seems like they're going to break them up. I can't help it when I watch Lashley just pummel people on Monday nights to wonder how this guy hasn't been their WWE champion at some point. But taking this one specific pay-per-view into account, look at what they did here. They gave you Roman and Edge. They gave you an interesting first match. And then in the end, they gave you a common thread throughout the show of The Miz and his frustrations, of Lashley and his frustrations, of a powerful manager and a guy who's willing to do whatever it takes to get to the top, negotiating, and then you had the payoff at the end. So that's pretty well done as far as I'm concerned, because I'm into this thing because of the storytelling anyway. I like the way they tell stories physically, and I also like the behind the scenes stuff. If it's done well, we'd all do it like we want to do it, right? But this was done well tonight. I thought it was great. I appreciate you checking us out today. This is KP. I've had a great time talking to you. Copyright 2021. Go Home Heat Production. Go home.